Okay, then here we are. It's a Wednesday, and we've got a studio full of people. We have Herb in the building.
Hello.
But only for a period of time, because you're disappearing.
I'm going to my grandchildren's sports day.
And where's that?
New Church.
Are you like allowed to win? Because, you know, at sports days these days, because nowadays they're sort of...
Oh, do you know, that started with my last daughter, how many years ago that was, non-competitive.
Right.
How can you have non-competitive?
We've gone soft, haven't we?
Yeah. How are we supposed to bring up new Olympians?
Yeah.
If we don't have competitive sports?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. It's all this health and safety business.
It is.
You can't do your hard-boiled egg.
And we've also got Jag and Jemvy in, and we've also got Jack Barnes in as well. Just arrange yourself around that microphone without moving it and making a lot of racket. You might have to sit on each other's knees.
Oh.
Just move that way a little bit and come round and so on.
I've got to watch Jack on a lead.
I've got to ask you this question. This is aimed at you.
Yes.
Herb. Wolf whistling to become a hate crime.
Yeah.
Police force starts recording uninvited verbal engagement from men to women in the same category as racist abuse. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, it used to go all funny when someone used to wolf whistle me. I mean, if I got it now, I'd be, well done, thank you. But, yeah, I mean, I've read it. A bit of an article here, and they said that it's an echo of an age long dead.
Right.
I don't think they do it anymore, to be fair.
You see? I mean, it was a thing that was associated with builders, wasn't it? You go past a building site, they're all hanging over the, or one or two maybe, are hanging over the scaffolding, and they do a wolf whistle.
Would you have been intimidated if that was the case, if that was going on?
No. I wouldn't, but there's a report back in last year of a lady saying that she reported a bunch of jeering builders to the police, and suddenly the sex war is back on. So I think it's all because of that lady that suddenly, as she said, she walked past a building site in Worcester, the shouting and the physical intimidation went on and on and on every day for a month. In the end, Poppy complained to the police. I suppose if it went on and on and on, yes, that's harassment. But the odd wolf whistle.
Yeah, okay.
The odd one. I mean, yeah, I would agree that if it's continue like that for a month, it'd be harassment.
Yeah. I think it's...
But the odd one or two.
I don't get that. And that's what you could end up with, you know, the odd one or two that might... And, you know, a policeman walks by and hears what's going on and says, right, okay, mate, you're nicked. I mean, it's... what could be included as a hate crime is incidents against women motivated by attitude of a man towards a woman. Unwanted, uninvited sexual advances, physical or verbal assault. Well, that goes without saying. What we're talking about today is verbal. It's a wolf whistle, a verbal.
Verbal is.
What would you? I mean, just.
I suppose
for instance,
verbal is whistle because you're saying, is singing? Are you verbal?
Yeah. Yeah.
So whistling, you have to be verbal, haven't you?
All right, darling.
It's coming out your mouth.
Nice legs, because you're not allowed to say. Apparently, you're not allowed to say people nice legs.
Are you not?
No.
Well done.
Do you know what? I remember saying to a young lady when this story came out originally about the legs, and we're probably going back about 15 years. There was a lady in the office at the time. Obviously, I was working somewhere else, but there was a lady in the office, and she had really lovely legs. And I said to her, "I hope you don't mind, but I think you've got wonderful legs."
Yeah.
And she said, "No, that's fine." But I thought, well, hang on a minute. If we're not allowed to say it, I mean, if we're clever, cute and clever enough to sort of, you know, communicate in a way that's not offensive and not in your face and not embarrassing, I'm guessing but how it's going
to
be.
It comes down to that the minority that don't.
But if they shave their legs, surely they'd want people to think they're nice.
That if they've taken the trouble.
So what are you saying? Unshaven legs?
No,
aren't
I'm
pretty.
Saying if they've taken the trouble to make them look nice. Yeah, you should be able to say.
Take the trouble to make them look nice.
What do you think I'm wearing a long dress?
He's digging himself such a hole, isn't he?
I'll be quiet now.
Yeah.
And they've probably laid in the sun for hours and hours and hours trying to make them look brown and nice and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I can see your point.
What are you saying, that we're lazy now?
Yeah. Well, my wife will lay in the sun for hours and hours and hours trying to make herself look brown.
Yeah.
Which again, coming back to the racism thing, I mean, I spend hours and hours and hours and hours in the sun trying to get a tan.
Yeah.
So I said to a black guy once, I wish I was black.
Yeah.
I do wish I was black. And he didn't take offence at that.
Yeah.
He could see what I was trying to say.
But I still get a tan, you know.
Well, that's irrelevant. Yeah. All summer long, I'm trying to look like them.
Yeah.
And so how is that racist? It's not.
It's
but,
not.
You know, other people have said and deemed that that is racist. I went into the office, not the office here, but when you come into reception, there's a young lady that works on a Monday.
Right.
And she's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
She is hilariously funny. Her name's Carly.
Yes.
And on Monday, she said, you've been on holiday, haven't you? And I said, yeah, I've been away. And she said, where'd you go to? What country did you go to? And I said, well, actually, I went to Suffolk. and she said, oh. And she said, where'd you get the tan from? And I said, oh, well, I wasn't born in this country. And she said, oh, I'm really, really sorry. And I've caught people out before on that, because I wasn't born in this country, but that's not a reason why I had a tan. Yeah, Suffolk weather was great, and I've got a bit of a tan. But I just like to chuck that in now and again, just to watch their face. You know, so this woman was like, all of a sudden she said this thing, and there's about two or three other people around. And basically, she feels now that she said this racist comment about, oh, light of colour, and all that. Yeah, it was where I was born. I was born in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And she... and her face was a picture. She was so apologetic. But it's just it's the way we say things,
yes,
isn't it? It's not. I mean, it's just funny watching people cringe.
I mean,
obviously,
you know, we'd be told off for telling people they're funny. The way we're going, I mean, we've got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah. So just say, for instance, if a man said to you, "What's too much?" Then in your book, you don't mind being wolf whistle that. So what's too much? If somebody,
well, I suppose if I was that young girl and I was getting that much, I would call it harassment.
Okay.
The odd one or two.
It makes you die.
Yeah.
It makes it exactly.
It does. It makes me smile.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you know, if a guy gives, when I was younger, I remember those days, a guy would give a girl a certain look and she'd go coy on them. That was a compliment.
She'd go what?
Coy.
Coy?
Coy.
Isn't that a fish? Yeah.
Oh, look.
You lads, you've got a lot to learn.
Shy.
You've ruined it all. All the good work you put in this week, you've ruined it all.
Ruined it, yeah. You see, that's another subject you could talk about. The terms and that we use, and the young don't understand anymore.
Different language altogether.
Different
language.
Oh,
to be fair, wolf whistle, I didn't know what you meant straight away when you said it.
Really?
No.
Nice.
Or maybe it's just me.
See, yeah, Jack's more of a man of the world by the sound of it. Have you ever, have either of you wolf whistled or
well, no, because he didn't know what a wolf whistle was until today.
What's the equivalent?
I suppose
texting.
A wink.
A wink.
Oh. A wink. Cheeky wink.
Now,
I do
the
wink.
Well, if you wink someone too much, will that become offensive?
It's like you've got something in your eye, isn't it?
Wink.
I'm glad you haven't got a speech impediment. So, would that be deemed, just say, for instance, if I sat here for 3 hours winking,
that would got something in your eye.
That's offensive after a while, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
even I haven't said anything, I'm just winking. I'm over here winking.
Yeah. Are you winking?
I'm winking at you for 3 hours on a Wednesday.
Then you've probably got a very sore eye.
Yeah. But would you after a period of time thinking, you know, stop that, that's really,
wait,
you know.
Wait, two things.
Yeah.
One, seriously, I wouldn't know if you haven't got something wrong with your eye.
Right, okay.
Would I have the nerve to ask? I probably would.
Yeah.
Two, if you were doing it, I'll just say, stop the winking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lay off the... Come on. Lay off the winking.
This is...
Shall we take a call?
We're on the fence here.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Tim Harper from I'm Finally Phil Collins.
Yes, I remember now. You were phoning in. I'd forgotten all about you because talking about... We're in the process of a lunchtime social debate, but we're in the process of talking about winking.
Right.
All right. And so we're now going to change tack. And when I say winking, it was all about there's a story in the press today it's all about it's offensive for men to wolf whistle, and we're saying, what about winking as well?
Oh my gosh.
And anyway, look, on the other end of this telephone, the other, we've got three other guys in it, well, a lady and two guys.
Thank you.
We've got two budding musicians in the studio, and Mike, the other end of this telephone, mm-hmm. is the one and only Phil Collins.
Oh, Phil.
Not,
I love
not,
Genesis.
Not the real Phil,
not
Collins,
the real Phil Collins, but a tribute act, Phil Collins.
Is it Genesis or is it his solo stuff?
Sorry?
Is it Genesis or is it his solo stuff?
Oh, it's both.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, yes, it's a mixture of both.
That's
now,
great.
Now, look, we've got loads of questions. Rosemary, who's in the studio, the other lady, is otherwise known as Herb, she's going to disappear in a wee while.
Yes,
but,
sorry.
The reason why you're on is because we want to talk to you, because you're coming to Shanklin Theatre very soon, aren't you?
Yeah, Friday the 22nd of July.
Ooh. Oh, crikey, so that's only a week...
week and a bit.
Yes.
A week Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you came here, but you didn't come before. They had a different tribute act.
No, I did. I came before. I'm the producer and the drummer of the show.
Ah,
you're the drummer.
What happened is that at the end of last year, when we finished the tour, our front man then went off to form his own band.
Right.
And we were on the point of being offered a huge tour this year, a 70-day tour. Okay. So we took that, and we took the 6 months notice we had to audition for a new front man, and we got one after about 90 applicants, so it was quite a response to it. But yeah, we started back on the road last March, and we're halfway through the year's tour, and it's been going amazingly well, really, really well received. So yeah, it was a good move, but yes, it's we're still celebrating the music of Phil Collins and Genesis.
Oh, well, good for you. And I'm glad it's going all right. Can I just say that, you know, we went to see it last year, and it was amazing. We really loved it. That was down at Shanklin Theatre.
But yes.
I mean, obviously, if we could just talk about the previous guy for a minute, he was brilliant. How do you follow that? This guy must be superb as well, the new one.
Oh, he's Chris Haywood is the name of the guy that's taken over, and he is truly superb. This is now a bigger and better show, if I can say that. We've got an addition of a percussionist as well, full-time percussionist, so there's now 11 of us on stage. Mm. Still the two drummer thing going on with the drum solos and In the Air Tonight and all of that. But yes, I mean, it is a huge leap forward for us in terms of where we're going. And yes, we had to find somebody that could do the job properly, and I think we have.
Can I ask one cheeky question before I go?
Yeah.
Do you wear the monkey outfit, the groom outfit?
No. You must have been the millionth person.
I know. I just had to do it on air.
It's a bit hot on stage to be wearing a gorilla suit as well as playing the drums.
you've tried it then?
No, but I can imagine it would be.
Wait, so you're, if I heard you right, you're the manager, but you're also the drummer of a Phil Collins tribute.
Yes, that's right.
You drum for a Phil Collins. That is impressive.
Yeah,
you've got a lot to live up to.
I'm the Chester Thompson half of it.
Ah, so you are, yeah, you're the Chester. And do you know what? Whenever you used to watch any old footage from Genesis, that was probably the highlight of the set, watching them two glare at each other. Because they used to look at it, didn't they, and say, right, okay, beat that then. And I know that you know, that's when we saw it last year, that's what you do. I mean,
yeah,
we
still do the same thing, but we've added a percussionist in. So you've now got the Lewis Conti role being fulfilled by a full-time percussionist, so it's now a three-way drum solo when we do it.
Jesus.
Which is gorgeous.
You must have a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, we do. I mean, that comes across on stage, I think, and it's not put on. We get asked many times whether it's staged, the amount of fun we're having. Believe you me, it's different every night, and we have a gas doing it. I mean, the music is superb. The way Phil puts together a show, it's always a spectacle, and we try and emulate that as much as we can.
Excellent. And so are you, when you do Shanklin Theatre, is that coming towards the end, or you got other gigs to do afterwards?
Oh, well, we're halfway through the tour. Yeah. When we get to Shanklin, we're exactly halfway through, so there's another 35 dates to do.
Wow.
But we get a month off, see. Shanklin's our little last one before the summer break, and then we're back off again in August, end of August.
Are you going to stay on the island for a bit?
Oh, we're stopping overnight that night, yes, because we're playing at Hailing Island the night after. So that makes nice sense, and it saves us rushing to catch the ferry.
See, I saw a news headline that he's coming back, Phil Collins.
Well, what he's done is released a back catalogue of his work, remastered, which is Take a Look at Me Now.
Yeah.
And he's also been doing some of his own charity work. by doing small appearances on TV shows across the world, mostly in America, raising money for his charities, his Dream.
Was he the one?
Dream Theatre or something.
Was he the one that did the Live Aid in England and then got a private jet up to America to do it?
He had the Concorde.
The Concorde, yeah.
Take him to America to play the same song in America. Yes, it was. I remember watching that, and I was quite amazed at that at the time.
That is an amazing thing.
Yes, it is.
It is, but then he's doing a similar thing here because he's doing a gig over on the mainland, and then he's getting on a red jet and then coming to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah,
very
really?
Similar. Well, apparently so. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing! I hadn't heard that one. All we've done is catch the Red Funnel Ferry. I mean, we can't match that.
Do you, does he know about you?
Yes, he does. His UKPA came to see us a couple of months ago in Tiverton, when we were playing in Tiverton and Devon, and she brought her husband along, who was a sound engineer for Genesis, and they thoroughly enjoyed the show, and they took a copy of one of our CDs and fed it back to Phil, and his niece came to see us in London, and she loved the show too, so he is aware of us, although
That's
I've not
good.
Spoken directly to
no.
him.
Who knows?
That's a
we
dream.
Hope one day.
Would it make any difference whether he was back on tour making music himself or does it not? Does it hinder?
No, I don't think it does. In all honesty, it's about people wanting to listen to Phil Collins' music played well.
Yeah.
And what we're finding is, because obviously it's not cheap to go and see big artists nowadays, and what we're finding is that people just want to come and celebrate the music with us. The more Phil's around, the better it is for everybody in terms of, you know, being out there in the public domain. When he's gone quiet, then people wonder if he's ever going to come back. But everybody hopes that one day he'll do the gig, you know, and come back and do what he's doing. From our point of view, we just carry on doing what we're doing, which is pleasing Phil fans as much as we can.
Well, I've got to be honest, you know, I've said I saw it last year. It was last May, I think, we went. You came to the Isle of Wight, you closed your eyes, and it was you were at a Phil Collins concert.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
The band were absolutely fantastic, and honestly, I'm not just saying it to get free tickets because you've already promised me a couple. and it was brilliant. But you opened your eyes, and then you thought, Phil Collins has let himself go a bit, hasn't he? Because he was quite a big lad, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, but I wouldn't like to be unkind about that. He was an extremely good performer.
Fantastic performer.
A fantastic drummer. But what we have now is, I'm looking forward to getting your feedback after you've seen the show, because I'm sure you will be amazed by what we're doing.
I'm pretty sure we will. Do you know what? It's really funny because there I was at the Isle of Wight Festival a couple of weeks ago, and people are saying, how can they top having Queen? And people were saying, let's get... Yeah, Genesis will be great, and it would be. It would be fantastic. Mm. But my wife said, who's that phoning you? We're in the middle of watching Busted, who, by the way, were boring.
Oh,
really,
really
dreadful. Yeah, they were really awful.
Oh,
anyway, the phone rings, and
anyway,
my wife says, who's that? And I said, it's Phil Collins. It's Phil Collins. It wasn't you that I spoke to, was it?
No.
No, it was the guy that... who was the guy that set up this interview?
Oh, Mike Finding.
Mike Finding.
Yeah, he's my marketing manager, yeah.
So he basically said, hello, it's Phil. And all I heard was Phil Collins. You know, obviously Phil Collins. And I thought, Phil Collins? Phil Collins is phoning me at the Isle of Wight Festival while I was in Busted. Well, that's cheered me up because they were dreadful.
I love it.
My wife didn't believe me, and you know, I had to play her the message in the end. And,
all right,
you know, it wasn't the Phil Collins, and no, it's the guys we saw last year, if you remember rightly. Oh, she said, oh, they were spectacular. They were really good, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And honestly, if you are a Genesis fan, a Phil Collins fan, or you're just a lover of music, get yourself a ticket to go to see this gig, because it will be fantastic. It will really make your night. It made us one of the best nights of the year last year for us.
Oh, that's fantastic.
22nd, isn't it, you said?
22nd, Shanklin Theatre. Do you know how much the tickets are?
I don't, to be perfectly honest with you. I have no idea, because the ticket prices are set by the theatre.
Right, okay. Well, we'll get in touch with them. But
yeah.
Thank you for taking the time and the trouble to give us a call, and hopefully, you know, we will see you next Friday.
Great, that's brilliant.
What we always do is when we go and see any act, wherever we go, we always guess what the final song's going to be and what the first one is.
Right.
So do you actually... Do you actually let people know what you're starting with and what you're finishing
with?
Don't
tell him. Don't tell him he's going to try and get an advantage on his wife.
All I'll tell you is that we open and close with two amazing Genesis tracks. That's all I'm telling
a
you.
A Genesis track?
Yeah.
Right, there's okay.
Amazing ones.
They are amazing ones.
Land
yeah.
of Confusion.
So yeah, I'm not going to say what they are.
Can't no. guess.
You've
got to wait till the actual...
I mean, when you look at the catalogue, of you know, the back catalogue of Phil Collins and Genesis, it's huge. How do you pick the best ones there? How do you just pick all single... I know you don't pick all single tracks, because we're actually playing this in the background, and I know you did a part of this, because it kind of comes in two parts, this song, doesn't it? And I know you did this last year. It's a song called Droned, which is taken from the Face Value album.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great piece of music. It really is. So how do you pick, you know, I'm guessing you're on stage for what, hour and a half?
We're on for 2 hours.
2 hours, brilliant. And
so what we do is the big hits have to be in there for the audience. So things like Paradise Against All Odds and Easy Lover and In the Air Tonight, they've got to be in the set because the audience expect to hear those. Now, from the rest of it, because we've built up this huge following fan base now, we ask them what they would like to see in set for the following year, so they get in touch with us and send us emails of their suggestions. And what we try and do is get the balance right, because Phil's written a lot of ballads which are superb, but you don't want people falling to sleep, so you need to intersperse it with interesting stuff as well. So we get suggestions in, I then try to make it run so that it's an entertaining show, and year in, year out, there are about 8 or 9 new songs go in. There are songs that we've done before that people have asked us to come back and do, you know, that we haven't played for a couple of years. And that's how the set is built up, basically.
So can you tell us, what's the most recorded song? What's the most requested song? Can you tell us that or not?
Well, I think it's In the Air Tonight because of, you know, the it's the most famous song. It changed Phil's solo career overnight. So
yeah?
I think In the Air Tonight
that
was
one.
It. Yeah, that's the one. And after that, funnily enough, it's normally things like one of the big ballads, like Against All Odds or Separate Lives, something like that. You know, they're requested a lot too.
Do you know what? I can't wait now. I now know what I'm going to be doing next Friday.
Good.
I'm going to be going to Shankton Theatre and seeing Phil Collins. What is the correct title for the night?
And Finally, Phil Collins is
that's
the name
right.
of the show.
And Finally, which was a name of the tour that he did.
It's the final farewell tour that he did back in 2004, and that's where we lifted it from. It was basically when we started this project 9 years ago, we were out to try and emulate that particular tour because it was phenomenal. The content of that show was just unbelievable, and that's what we wanted to do. So at that time we called it And Finally Phil Collins, and the name stuck, basically, even though we've moved on a bit from there.
With Easy Lover, who does the featuring parts? Because that's not just...
No, we have two lady backing vocalists who share that particular line. So Phil's in doing his bit, and the two girls alternate doing the Phil Bailey bit.
Phil Bailey was the drummer in Earth, Wind & Fire, just in case you didn't know. You've got two young whippersnappers this side. I was going to ask you, you talked there before that the young whippersnapper chipped in. We're talking about the and Finally tour. What happens if he comes back and does another tour then?
Well, it's from our point of view, it's not a problem. It's a bit like him re-releasing his back catalogue and calling it Take a Look at Me Now, and we've called our tour Take a Look at Him Now, because it's a nod to Phil, which is what we're here to do.
That's easy enough, isn't it? That's great. That's brilliant.
So he keeps on coming up with the ideas, and we'll keep on paying homage to him.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you're obviously a big fan of Genesis and Phil Collins anyway, then?
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, his live performances in whatever format have been, have always been, for me, extremely energetic, very professional and at the top of the game. And that's what attracted me to do this 9-10 years ago. And I'm living the dream now because we really are flying on top with it.
Do you know, there was an album track that's in my head a lot of the time, and it was a song that I think it came in two parts, and there was a big instrumental bit, and it just went along the lines of do 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 do. I think it was on the Abacab album.
Oh, right. You've lost me now.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll send it to you. Maybe you can have a crack at it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
So, I mean, you must be au fait with everything they've ever done.
Not with everything that Genesis ever done. I was foremostly a Phil Collins fan. I'd listened to Genesis and I liked them, but I wasn't aware of half of the albums that they did until we started doing this project. So I'm learning as we go along. I'm certainly no Genesis Anorak, but I'm a massive fan of what they've done.
Okay, I think the track was called Dodo and Lurker. It was two songs combined.
All right, I'll look those up.
Okay, and if you could learn it between now and next Friday, you could say...
No, that's not going to happen, bud.
Hang on, I thought you were professional musicians.
Yeah. But if you knew what we'd been doing for the last couple of days, we just put together an unplugged set of what Phil did on MTV back in the early 90s. And we're playing it in a theatre just to try it out this Saturday. And so...
Oh, right,
to learn even more stuff between now and a week on Fridays, I think the band might up and leave me if I was to suggest.
All right, we don't want that. Okay, look, looking forward to next Friday.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
And I hope to meet you guys after the show.
Yes, yes, we'll be around in the foyer.
Fabulous. Okay, thanks for taking the time and the trouble to give us a call.
That's all right, Ian. Thank you.
And we'll see you on the night. Thank you.
Cheers, then.
Cheers.
Thanks,
now.
Bye.
Bye. What a great chap, and obviously we'll try and wangle you a couple of tickets as well, guys, if you're interested.
Oh, yes.
So look, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with part two of the lunchtime social debate. We started off with wolf whistling and so on and so forth, and I'm pretty sure we can find another subject that we can chat about between now and 1 o'clock. So we will come back. If you do want to get in touch, you can 240666 240666, and also the chaps are going to be here tomorrow. That's Kieran Genvey and Jack Barnes are going to be doing their own lunchtime social debate. Stick around, because we'll tell you all about that in part two.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio.
The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Chute and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
Want to beat the NHS waiting times and be seen by an experienced physiotherapist? If you have an injury, ongoing pain, or just want some advice, contact Physiocare and Sports Injury Clinic today. We are the largest and oldest physiotherapy practice on the island, with three practices in Ryde, Bembridge and Cowes, and our aim is to see people within 48 hours. We're registered providers for all the major UK insurance companies. Let our enthusiastic team help you. Contact our friendly and knowledgeable practice manager, Rachel, on 01983 812 576 or by email manager@physio-care.com or on our website physio-care.com.
Physiocare are proud sponsors of the Award for Sport at the Isle of Wight Sports Awards 2016.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Andy Gustar has details of the £10 meal deal at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
Oh, that's been running for quite some time, and we're still doing it for £10, and I think, why change something that's really working well? You get a fresh chicken in there, 400 grams of steak mince, you get a pound of sausages, and you get a quarter of ham. All of that for £10. There's a lot of meals there for a family of two or three. The important thing to add to that is it's quality food as well. You must, I think, for the sake of your own health, look to a quality product which is going to be that good for you.
Hamilton's are in Newport, they're in Pyle. Isle Street. Where else are you?
We're in Cowes High Street, Wootton Bridge. We also have a shop now on Dodder Industrial Estate.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, the best local butcher in town.
Retinitis pigmentosa is a disease of the eye that leads to loss of vision and blindness. It causes the retina, the light-sensitive part of the eye, to degenerate and sight to be lost. RP Fighting Blindness works hard to stimulate and fund cutting-edge research to find a cure or treatment. The local RP Fighting Blindness group on the Isle of Wight has been established since 2006. If you live on the island and you'd like to get involved, please contact Colin MacArthur at talktalk.net or make a donation at www.rpfightingblindness.org.uk/IOW.
Hey there, Vectus Radio listeners, this is Dazza D. Just a little message to remind you that the lock-in from 7 every Saturday for my mashup. I'll be bringing you the UK Dance Chart Top 10 Lowdown, classic floor fillers, and a huge bundle of quality dance tunes, new and old. So make sure you lock in with me, Dazza D, every Saturday from 7 p.m. right here on Vectus Radio. Get locked in.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectus.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, we're back with part two. We've got Herb's left the building. She's gone off to a sports day afternoon, so good luck with that. And we've been left with Kieran Genvie, otherwise known as Jaggin' Genvie. And hello. We've got Jack Barnes in as well.
Hello.
And we were talking about wolf whistling earlier on. Yeah. Wolf whistling to become a hate crime. Police force starts recording uninvited verbal engagement from men to women in the same category as racist abuse. Which is, I think, it's incredible. Best thing, this is what a guy is. I can't pronounce his name, but the best thing a bloke can do nowadays is to avoid women as much as possible. They are way too much trouble. The boy says, Sue Fish, this is the lady in question, this is the one that's brought this story out, needs to tackle crime, not prat about with trivia. Who would whistle at either of them? There's a picture of these two ladies on it, and obviously they're suggesting that they're not very attractive. Whatever next, laws are becoming laughable. Dave in Cow says, keep whistling, guys, normal intelligent women understand it's not threatening. We've got Toby says, what has become of this life? It's pathetic. This country has lost its mind, tied in knots by the far left wing rhetoric. These women will complain the day nobody pays them any attention. Is this why we voted Brexit? So we can make up our own silly laws? I mean, it is a bit daft, isn't it? But then I can kind of agree with earlier on with what Rosemary was saying. If you were walking past the same place every single day,
yeah,
and somebody was really leery and so on, you know, you can understand why she's actually gone to the police to put in some kind of complaint. So come on, guys. I mean, you're both 16. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a lady's attention, and you may want to sort of make, you know, let them know that you think they're nice and
it's
attractive.
The wink. Yeah,
it's just the wink.
She's sitting one side of McDonald's, you're sat the other. Look at her wink. When you eat your fries, just a dying little wink. She goes all red,
easy.
Comes over,
easy.
Coke, yeah.
Hello, darling, little
Hello,
wink.
Hello, darling, little wink.
Where
offer
are we, the 1970s?
Her a bit of chips or something, give her a chip.
Give her a chip.
She'll be all over you just like that.
Do you know what, at the beginning of the week, you were two lovely lads. I could hear the women, the mothers, they're lovely, them boys, and now they're thinking, lock up your daughters. Hey, don't let them go to McDonald's. Hey, if he's down there handing out his chips and having a wink across the table. Now, there's a couple of other subjects we're going to chat about. We're going to come to one in a minute where some mother locked their son up for 10 hours while she went out on a day trip. We'll do that in a moment. But you guys have got a story. There's something that's going down at the moment.
Yeah. There's this new game called Pokemon Go. And I found on the Telegraph of... essentially what it is. Well, Jay, you explain what it is.
So, essentially, it's a virtual reality game. You hold your phone up and it like uses your camera to show what's around you, except it plants Pokemon in the world. And you've got to walk about, you've got to find them, and you catch them all, as the saying goes. You go visit Pokemon centers or whatever, I don't know what they're called, but you go to walk around, and each place is listed on the map. Like, even on the Isle of Wight, there's everywhere it's just listed as certain places.
Right.
But, yeah, go on, you take this bit.
Now, you think that'd be an innocent game, but I found from the Telegraph a list of ways this has been used wrong. And this is a story. There's a group of 11 youngsters, and these criminals made a hotspot where you'd find loads of Pokemon, and they set it to this place. And this group of 11-year-olds went there, and they mugged them, and they robbed them and left them. It was a really secluded place, and they were attracted by this app to this place.
Right.
And they were mugged, and then they were left. Okay. Obviously, their phones were taken.
And what was the outcome? Did they find these people?
Well, I'm guessing so, because it was a story, but I don't know.
Okay.
There was also
things I saw on the internet. It was like a video of some bloke. In the game, you get this thing like incense or something like that, and you use it and it attracts all of these Pokemon to your area. Some bloke was sat at like midnight outside the kids' park. There's like a video of these people going to find him and be like, "What are you doing, mate?" So like, people were actually trying to attract young children to them.
And here's another one. This is horrible. In the US, the app actually led them to a dead body by mistake. So there is a lot of horrible things around this app.
So what's this?
Blown up.
What is this app?
It's cool. Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
And essentially, you play Pokemon in the real world. And Jack plays it. I don't.
It's all right. Actually, it's quite fun.
That's my point. It's crazed. And there's people getting ran over because they're looking. There was some guy that got stabbed at 1 a.m. 21-year-old, and he didn't go to hospital because he was playing this game.
Okay.
Should have been doing it whilst driving as well. So they're driving along looking for these Pokemon, crashed the car, die.
Well,
not that drastic.
Why don't you play it?
Because I want to be social. Me and Jack were talking, then I turned to him and say something. He was 10 foot behind me trying to catch this little animated animal.
Yeah.
Takes about 20 minutes.
So you're rare.
So you're the sensible one of the duo, aren't you?
See, I said that.
And this guy, and you're doing this, and you're putting yourself in danger.
No, because I'm not. Firstly, I don't drive, and I don't get stabbed, and I'm not a...
Well, no one
gets I'm not going stabbed. Out at 1 a.m. looking for Pokemon near kids' parks.
So, is it not a risk at all, the way you're doing it?
No, really, I don't, like, proper focus on my phone walking the whole time. I look around at my surroundings. Don't walk into anything. I always check before I cross the road.
Shouldn't you be a little bit more aware when you're going out there in the big wide world? If you're, like, you know, looking at your phone all of the time. I mean, let's be honest. You go out in any high street and you will see people of all ages looking at their phone, and they're probably texting. Well, if you're having a lot less focus on what you're doing because you're playing some silly game, You're more of a threat, aren't you? And and there's every chance that you could come under threat with those things that you've just been talking about. Because you're not aware.
Right. You are right.
So maybe you ought to give that some thought.
I like to think I use it sensibly.
Yeah, but you don't. I know you.
So he's worried about you now.
He's worried about me. This Pokemon's ruining me.
I mean, we were out the other day, and we were trying to have a chat, and then he asked for the Wi-Fi purely so he could catch a river fish.
He's out and about?
Yeah.
And there is a...
Who was sat there?
So you would then be focused on your phone, and you'll be walking near roads? In roads?
No, because I'm not proper focusing the whole time, like, staring dead at it. I'm looking about. I'm checking my surroundings. I'm always looking if there's anything about me I'm going to bump into. I'm not proper engrossed. Like, I've had it for about, like,
Just say, for instance, if you're driving the car, I'm not saying you are, but if you are driving the car, that's what somebody will say that's just crashed the car. I was only just having a quick look at the text, and then all of a sudden it took...
Yeah.
And that's all it takes, 1 second, 2 seconds. Yeah. You can be in control of what you're doing, but for one split second you're not, and someone else is driving a bus or a car or a motorbike, all of a sudden you're in danger, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, end of the day, it's quite fun. It's a fun little game. I haven't died yet.
Yeah, but you want to get to the end of the day, as you say.
Get to the end of the game.
What's wrong with just walking and being bored for a few minutes?
Yeah, well, not so much bored. There's plenty of other things to focus on. Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate.
Hello, Keith.
Did I hear that right, that you can actually groom kids by using this game?
Well, that's the understanding that I'm getting from it.
Because you can set... Essentially, you go and collect these animals on the game, and I think you pay a small amount of money, and you can set a hotspot to attract animals and therefore attract people who are playing the game.
Yeah, when you say you can... Who sets the hotspots, then? Can
just anyone? The players.
And well, basically anybody can do it.
Yeah, they set up in a... it says
so
here...
So basically, we could get some perverted git that could actually set hotspot and lure kids into somewhere.
Yeah. It says secluded... Totally, it says secluded area on the Telegraph is where they led them to.
That is totally... Well, it's awful, isn't it?
It is.
It's dreadful. I'm trying to find it, trying to find the app, just to sort of read...
Oh, no, it's got banned in the UK because they're not comfortable with it.
Oh, it is banned?
But they...
How come he's still got it?
I don't think it's been banned. It just hasn't... They were going to release it, because it's only been released in America so far. It hasn't been banned. They were just decided not to release it yet until they're actually ready.
So how
honestly,
come you've got it then?
These computer programmers, they're pretty sick, aren't they?
Well, this seems to be.
Yeah, well, I remember in a few years back, I think there was also a game, a computer game that's going to be released. It's going to be released on the 11th of November, and it was called Cannon Fodder. And basically, it was about the young soldiers going over the top and just getting blasted to bits. You know, like they did in the First World War. First World War, wasn't it? Yeah. And, you know, when is this going to stop, Ian?
Well, it won't, will it? Because, say, this is big business, isn't it? This is money.
Yeah, I know they managed to ban the game in Britain, Cannon Fodder, but...
Yeah, but I think the issue with that is they have to make a game that causes a distress to people before they have the discussion of whether it's okay.
Yeah, but what? I know, what, it's a bit like the old... what is it called? The Film Censorship Board, isn't it?
Yeah.
They have to sit before... a film goes before a group of people who decide what category it goes into.
Well, look, James Vox is outside, and I'm hoping now that he's got his phone there, and he might be able to airdrop this, so it appears on my little screen here, because he's got the story on another little story that's just come up to do with this,
yeah.
And it's quite... I've only seen the headline, so we should, hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll be doing it as we speak.
Yeah.
So just bear with us. When is it going to stop? I don't think it'll ever stop, to be honest.
No, it's horrendous though, mate, isn't it?
And it's just an innocent game of Pokemon. You think of Pokemon, you think of childhood Game Boys.
I feel like it's about... how the game's
Pokemon
made.
About 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
thinking
about how
about
people
round,
people
it?
Use the oh, game. It's putting people in risk, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a Pikachu and all that lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
But anyway, just a thought, mate. I just thought I'd bring that one in.
Okay, thanks very much for your call, Keith.
All right, mate.
Really appreciate it. Cheers now.
Bye.
I'm just getting the thing on the screen now. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Here we go. This is... thank you, James. James is on next with the afternoon show. He'll be joined by his lovely wife, Judith, and a few other guests as well. But this is a bit of a news story. Pokemon Go maniac refuses to go to hospital after stabbing so he can keep playing.
It's awful, isn't it? I've got the story up here.
It's unclear whether Michael Baker is best poke master... but no one ever was, but he might be the most dedicated 21. The 21-year-old was stabbed at 11 a.m. whilst looking for Pokemon, but refused medical attention because he wanted to keep playing. Baker was, obviously this is in America, when he came across someone he thought was another player. He issued a challenge to battle. He got stabbed in the shoulder. I saw him go by and asked if he was playing Pokemon Go. He was like, what? I guess he wanted to battle because he came up at me with a knife. He said, so yeah, a different kind of battle. I basically risked my life, he adds, and who are we to question that? After risking his life, this brave man decided to continue looking for Pokemon and go to go someplace to get chips and beer.
Yeah.
He has since had 8 stitches. Be safe out there. Robberies, accidental exercise, and now apparently stabbings. No word from Baker on how many more Pokemon he got out of his decision or whether there might have been Pokemon at the hospital. I'm going to ask you an awkward question because you haven't answered it.
Go on.
All right, you got all like, you know, yeah, if you know the right people and all that. Where did you get this copy from if it's banned in Britain?
No, basically you just got to change because it's released in the USA.
Yeah.
So you just got to change the settings on your phone so it thinks you're in the USA. So I just look up on the internet.
Okay, so you took the time and the trouble to do that.
It took like 2 minutes.
and you are now, are you not concerned that you may be in a little bit of danger? Keith's concerned. Yeah. The guy that was on just now on the phone, he was concerned about your welfare. You could tell. Keith's a father, grandfather as well, and he's saying, when is it all going to end? And you're quite, I mean, your mate there is being very sensible and saying, I don't want to know. But you're sort of looking at this and thinking, it's a bit of a joke. And, okay, you may think you're in full control. You may be in some kind of control, but I guarantee you're not in full control.
Yeah, well...
Does your mum know that you use Pokemon and the dangers of Pokemon
Go? Yeah, she does.
And she knows all about it?
Yeah, I was living with my mates, and I was like... Going to park, Mum. Going to go watch some Pokemon.
I tell you what happened. I had one of my friends come to my house the other day and said, "Did you know your house is a Pokemon gym?" And that attracts people to my house.
Right.
And I don't know what it is because I don't play the game. But my house has been listed as a settlement that people can go to train their Pokemon.
When you say a settlement, what do you mean by that?
As in,
so essentially they have the gyms, which is like you can meet someone at the gym. If they beat a few Pokemon in the battle, I don't know, I haven't done this, but you win the gym and the gym is classed as yours.
My house.
But then someone else can go and take it over and win the gym as well. But that is listed as Kieran's house. You know, people walking outside like
they're battling with their phones out for my house.
if you are treating this in the way that maybe it should be treated, it's fine, I guess. But if you're not really aware of the dangers or taking those dangers seriously, then you could be in massive danger yourself. So he's worried about you. Keith's worried about you. And
sorry,
I've
Keith.
Got to be honest with you, I'm getting a little bit concerned that your flippant way of dealing with it, you know, especially, you know, just the simple things. If you're on your phone and you're looking at your phone and you're wandering around and you're near roads and you might think that you're in control, but you're not, absolutely not. And you don't know of the other dangers. We're hearing of the other dangers now. People are being groomed. Advice to you is delete that app.
Shall I do it live on air?
You should do
live
it
live on air.
Delete that app.
Here we go.
But promise me, don't go back to it.
I won't.
Don't go cheating.
Right, here we go. Are we looking? Pokemon Go.
There we go.
There we go. Pressing it.
And
delete Pokemon Go. Deleting this app will delete all of its data. Delete.
It's deleted. There we
go. It's gone. Pokemon Go.
He's
no longer getting
man.
Groomed.
Okay.
You didn't know.
That's the dangers.
That's the danger.
But otherwise, I'd have just had a word with your mum and just said, "Look, your son's in danger." He's telling you about Pokemon, but he's not telling you the real story because we all think, and this is the clever thing, we all think Pokemon. Oh, there's those clever little
Game Boys.
They are. Yeah, my son used to collect the little characters. Yeah. The little, I think they were about an inch high, made of plastic, and there were hundreds of them, weren't there?
Hmm.
So and there you are. You're in danger. Are you now concerned for his welfare? Are you now relieved that he's?
Yeah, easily. Because for starters, I can talk to him now without worrying that he's down catching a fish, a virtual fish. But it's nice to know that he's safe.
Let me just say this to you, okay? You got a rock and roll attitude, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you got a rock and roll attitude. What good's a rock and roll attitude if you get splatted by a bus because you're being stupid with your phone?
Yeah, and the same sense, what's a rock and roll attitude when you're sat there playing Pokemon?
Exactly. That was my next thing. Remember, this is Pokemon. How old are you? Six?
Yeah. Just about.
Just about. All right, okay, look, we've got the other subject we quickly do before... don't go loading that back on, will you?
No, don't worry.
Okay, well, but I do worry, because I think, you know, you worried your friend there, and other people...
Ex-friend. You worried the person sat next to him.
Okay. All right, he's fallen out, have you?
Yeah, over Pokemon. It's ruined our friendship.
I've now got the app and beat him.
Pokemon Go has ruined our friendship.
Okay, the other story was, I saw the headline and I thought, wow, that's a story and a half, where some mother has gone away, a mother 40 years of age. Mm-hmm. She's locked her naked 5-year-old son in a cupboard for more than 10 hours while she cleared off on a trip to a family trip to Blackpool. The mother, who took her two daughters and a friend to the seaside of Bradford Crown Court, heard the boy was locked in a cupboard for 10 hours. It's alleged the boy was also locked up when mother went shopping. The boy's mother and her female friend both deny child cruelty charges. So they both deny that that's cruel.
But they admit that they did it.
With the frightened boy shut inside, the 40-year-old mother took her two elder daughters and a female friend on a day trip to Blackpool from their home in Bradford. Okay, the car left in a car at 11 a.m. and returned from the 140-mile round trip after dark at around 9:30 p.m. The friend, aged in her late 20s, who is also on trial alongside the mother of child cruelty, was said to regularly shut the boy in the wooden cupboard so they would all go out shopping without him. I mean, you just say, for instance, you're the judge and jury now. What would you say to that woman? What would you say that you know?
I think that's disgusting.
And what would you sentence her to?
Bloody
sorry.
Carry on.
I don't know what I sentence her to. I don't know what is considered long and what's considered. I've never been to prison before.
Well, how many years would you like her put away?
30.
Oh, that's quick.
That's fair enough. I don't think there'd be.
I don't think. What's the point of having a child if you're just going to be an absolute idiot about it and neglect it?
And leave it naked?
Leave it naked. At least
in a dark cupboard whilst you clear off to Blackpool.
It's like a sick Harry Potter remake. You know, he lived in his cupboard.
Yeah? Okay,
and that was cruel, and he could get out.
So you pluck 30 years out of the air, I'm with you. I don't think there'd be a mother in the land or a father in the land that would disagree with that. I really
think
do.
That woman is a disgrace to parents all over the world.
Okay, do you want to hear a couple of other comments? Let's just have a quick look at some, because there are plenty. Mm-hmm. We'll just click on that, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they'll come through. But we say this lady ought to get at least 30
years. Well, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Years. For some reason, it's all locked up, and I can't do that. So, sadly, we can't do it. Guys, just tell us quickly about the lunchtime social debate tomorrow, because this is your idea. For 1 hour, this is your idea.
Well, we are hosting a show, debating what the best band in the world is of all time. So we're putting out opinions, taking in phone calls, getting people's opinion.
As well as the greatest band in the world, I think it's also what defines a great band. Because there's how they present themselves, there's if they're still relevant today. There's many factors about it. Because the Beatles are talked about nearly as much as a current band today. And they were in the 60s.
Yeah.
So we're going to be discussing really what makes a great band.
Do you know what's really strange, and we'll talk more on this tomorrow, the Beatles started out in the 1950s, okay?
Yeah.
And they were probably about 15, 16 when they picked up a guitar and they were played. And you're like 15, 16, picked up a couple of guitars and starts playing, and you're like a bit of a mod and you've got the hairdo and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's any similarities, but here we are.
Talking about the Beatles.
150 years later, and it's almost like it's going full circle.
Yeah.
So there's still that influence, and that is the mark of a super band, isn't it? At the end of the day, hey, look, we've got to go. We've got to make way for James and Judith. They're on the way with the Wednesday afternoon show. Thanks, guys, and we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Beautiful.